All right, meaningless. Honor and enjoy your Creator while you're still young, before the years take their toll and your vigor wanes, before your vision dims and the world blurs, and the winter years keep you close to the fire. In your old age, your body no longer serves you so well. Muscles slacken, grip weakens, joints stiffen. The shades are pulled down on the world. You can't come and go at will. Things grind to a halt. The hum of the household fades away. You are awakened now by the birdsong. Hikes to the mountains are a thing of the past. Even a stroll down the road has its terrors. Your hair turns apple blossom white, adoring a fragile, impotent, matchstick body. Yes, you are well on your way to eternal rest, while your friends make plans for your funeral. Life, lovely while it lasts, is soon over. Life as we know it, precious and beautiful, ends. The body is put back into the same ground it came from. The spirit returns to God who first breathed it. Meaningless. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Nothing has any meaning. That's our text. Lord, we just committed to you and say, Lord, these are important words from a man who knows what he's talking about. Lord, a man who had access to stuff that we can only dream of, incredible wealth, incredible power, wisdom that was beyond what anyone else had had. An experience of God that was powerful and had a blessed reign throughout his world and all his life. A man who considered things very, very deeply with tremendous insight. A man who had tremendous success in most of the things that he did. And Lord, in this summing up of Ecclesiastes, he has something to say to us today. We know, Lord, there's an epilogue to follow that. We will do that another time. But Lord, meaningless, everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Nothing has any meaning. So Lord, we commit both the reading which we have just done and the preaching of your word, and may it help, may it give insight and instruction to all who hear. By your spirit we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, there you are. Meaningless. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Nothing has any meaning. You don't want to get to verse 8. The whole point of what he's trying to say from verses 1 to verse 7 is he doesn't want you to end up at verse 8 like that. That's the whole point of what he's trying to say. And when he's saying that, he's simply saying this. Spiritual neglect leads to a life that has no meaning, that has no purpose at the very end. The whole point of what he's trying to say is to help us to avoid that. Because he's describing the aging process and the different things that can happen as we go up in years and the things that we begin to lose. And you arrive at a stage of where an awful lot has gone, and you're asking the question, what is it all about? Life doesn't seem to have any purpose or any meaning. I have lived it, but I have no idea what it's all about. And now I'm coming to the end, and I still don't know. He doesn't want us to get that far. So what he is addressing here is the thing of spiritual neglect. I leave that for another day kind of attitude. I can think about this stuff at another time. That's the whole point of what he's trying to address in these verses. So, though they sound very negative, the whole idea behind it is so that we end up with a positive outcome. And it's so we don't avoid, so we don't end up in a negative spiritual reality, disillusioned, discouraged, and have no idea what it was all about. That's where we're going with it. So, we look at verse 1. I put this up from the New Living Translation. You have the NIV there. It's just a slight difference. And it says simply this: remember your Creator. Remember Him while you are still young. And so what he's actually trying to tell us is this spiritual journey and this spiritual connection, the earlier it happens, the better. And the quicker you can establish it, I may be getting to some of you fairly late on the time, but nevertheless, the quicker you can start it in whatever, both in age and in experience, the better. So he's just reminding people, remember your Creator. Remember Him while you're still young. Think about Him before the times of trouble comes. The years will come when you'll say, I don't find any pleasure in them. I bet there are people who you know this day, you can say that about. The years have come, the years have gone, there's no longer any pleasure in it. There has nothing else. And part of that is, that they have possibly ignored what I've put up there in red. Remember your Creator. Remember Him while you're still young. Then he describes the situation. That's when the sunlight will become dark, the moon and the stars and also will grow dark, and the clouds will return after his rains. So he's talking about the end of life experiences of where everything appears dull and doesn't have much meaning. So what he's saying to us from verse 1 down to verse 7 is stay connected spiritually. And as you look after the other areas of your life, look after this as well. Very important. And started young. I was thinking, the Irish government in their wisdom, are getting people, forcing them into a pension at a young age so that when they get to the stage of where they're eligible or not able to work, that there'll be some money there. So it's the same idea as what he's talking about, but he's doing this in the spiritual realm. So that's remember your Creator. Verse 3, he says the very same thing. Remember your Creator before those who guard the house tremble with old age. That's when the strong man is bent over. The woman who grinds grains will stop because there are so few of them left. And those who look through windows won't be able to see very well. So he's describing about a busy life. And it comes to a standstill. You're stooped over, you're not great on your feet anymore, and you're not able to see that well. So what do you do then? Where is there's purpose and meaning after that? That's where he's getting us to. So you can see he's on the ball, isn't he? Profoundly wise. And then again, he keep emphasizing, remember, verse 4, remember the Creator before the front doors are closed. That's when the sound of grinding will fade away. He's talking in about people who are out in the world, who hear all the noise, the hustle and the bustle. But they're not there anymore, they're inside their home. And, they hear nothing and almost see nothing. Old people will rise up when they hear the birds singing, but they barely hear any of their songs. You notice as you get older, you sleep less, you're up earlier. But there's an awful long day and there's not a whole pile to do with it for some people because they're not able to do it. Because all the stuff that they were able to do, much of what they're able to do has been taken from them with the aging process. And where's the purpose, where's the meaning then? So you can see where he's going with it. So that's verse 4. Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worry about the danger in the streets. That becomes a real problem. As people get older, they're afraid of getting mugged. They're afraid of falling over. And obviously he's at that stage himself when he's writing this. He knows what he's talking about. Before your hair turns white like an alum tree in blossom and you drag along without energy, like a dying grasshopper. So at one stage, you're out jogging, you have to do the gym, you have to do all of this. Now you're literally dragging yourself around. All that is very hard mentally and physically. And there's isolation, there's all kinds of things go with it. And people are looking for, where's the meaning, where's the purpose now? And you're literally, often you're left with a lot of time on your own. And the caperberry no longer inspires sexual desires. That was an important priority for Solomon, I'm going to say that, you know. He was a man that was big into sex. Yeah, he had lots of partners who apparently were more than willing, you know. 300 wives, 700 concubines, but according to his own estimation, and I'm not going to argue with that number. So when he is saying that desire is gone as well, you know, he's definitely coming towards the end. I put out just in case you needed any clarification, just to put it in there, you know. He was a man of the world in that way. And when mourners will weep at your funeral, it means then is you know that the next thing that's going to happen is death. All the signals are coming for us, just as the body is wearing out. You know, your days of contributing to society are over. Your days of freedom coming and going are gone. You can't hear that well. I'm not here at all. The eyesight is dodgy. Bed and defeat, you're stumped over. And the only thing you're looking forward to is death. Anyway, verse 6. Remember, Peter, while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well. In other words, what he's saying there is, don't procrastinate and say, I can think about that at another time. Because if you do that, is what he's saying is, when you get there, you're going to be in trouble. For then, obviously, describing, you're coming towards the very end of your life in verse 6. For then the dust will return to the earth, that's what happens to our body, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, if you remember your Creator, then you won't be saying this. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. Because there is hope beyond this journey. You have something then that you're actually working towards. You've already have a spiritual connection that you have fostered and that you have looked after down through the years. And that gives you the hope. But if you don't have that, what you have is, I don't know what this is all about. Life has no purpose. It has no meaning. You have people who are very disillusioned, depressed, disheartened, discouraged, and people who are very cynical. That is what he is trying to get us to avoid and simply say, you establish a connection with God at a young age and you keep it going as you go up along. So when the physical is gone from you, you'd now have the spiritual kicking in that can be actually taken from you. Quite encouraging, really, isn't it? The problem is most people are not aware of how important that is. That is not really taught as a such. And so therefore then, and it's less now because if you look at our society today, less and less and less of young people are going to church. And my problem with that is, I won't be around, of course, but give that 40 years down the road and they get to experience, you know, the verses there in Ecclesiastes 12. My concern is many of them will say meaningless, completely and utterly meaningless. And they'll face it and they'll have no hope or nothing beyond it because they won't have fostered anything of kind of a spiritual relationship with God. That is the great concern. So I'm blessed that I kind of started my journey as an altar boy, a very devout altar boy. And, you know, and I don't take credit for it. I think the Lord had mercy on me. And in my teenage years and in my 20s, then I got a bit more serious again in it. And I've traveled on. And so without that, you know, my best just could possibly be behind me at this stage. Certainly, according to Solomon, I may have a bit more to go yet, you know, but eventually some of that stuff is going to happen, whether I like it or not. And so what do I have then? And where's my hope? And so, and that's so important to be able to give that to other people. We went through a pandemic of COVID, and we talked about all the things that COVID was doing, and there was a great deal of information coming from the scientific and the medical community. There wasn't a blessed word about death and facing death. And everyone has to do it. No advice. I'm not knocking the medical world for that, by the way. That's not their brief. The brief is coming from lads like us. Nothing to equip people in the spiritual realm to face. For many people, their experience of God may have been confirmation, and that's as far as it's gone. And that could have been at the age of 11 or 12, whatever the case may be. Now they're 70 or they're 80 or some of them are 90. And that's as far as they have got with it. Can you see the difficulty? You feel sorry for the situation. It's not the way it's meant to be. But you can understand why everything is meaningless then. Because there is no spiritual goal. But the thing there is, it's not lack of knowledge. It's not lack of know-how that Solomon is talking about. It is neglect. And indeed, in some ways, as I understand Solomon, he did a bit of that himself. He had tremendous encounter with God as a young man, and in beginning his rule, tremendous and greatly blessed. But as the years went by, he got preoccupied with success and expanding the kingdom, and then the projects, building and all kinds of things. Very gifted, and he was into horticulture and all kinds of things. And then he was an academic on top of that. And he had a fairly strong sexual appetite, as we said, as well. So he was a busy man. So somewhere along the line is, he must, from what I'm looking and reading it, he must have ignored some of the spiritual stuff. And he probably has got to the stage of where he may be sinking a bit. And I think he's talking really from his experience. And if it says, Solomon, if you had to do it all over again, what advice would you give us? And he'd say, keep spiritually connected. Now do all the other stuff, like there's balance here, but make sure you stay connected spiritually. Life lessons. And then I finish. Spiritual neglect is not a good thing, especially in old age, with death staring you right in the face. And I do an exercise class, and the last thing that everyone wants to talk about is death. And everyone is trying to exercise to defeat death. We can defeat it. We can just stay healthier. And the reason for that is people have neglected their spirituality. That's the God's honest truth. I don't say that as a judgment. I just say it as an observation. But it's not good to get up to this stage facing death and not to have anything done spiritually. You certainly are in trouble then. That's the first lesson. Second lesson I learned is simply this. Spiritual neglect myth. There's a myth. I think about spiritual stuff when I'm old and grey and have plenty of time on my hands. You've heard people saying that? Solomon is saying that's the very last thing you want to do. Because you will have time on your hands, but you won't have had put in the spiritual investment. And you may be an old geezer, you know, wobbly around the place, but you're only a baby in the spiritual realm, you know, and you need minding and feeding and everything. You're in trouble. That's what he's saying. Don't leave it, you know, on the long finger, in this case, until I'm old and grey. Because you wouldn't be able to hear or see, you know, that's the truth. Number three, or wrong. What he's saying is, you don't want to end up old and spiritually bankrupt. And unfortunately, there are many people like that. And they're facing eternity in tremendous fear. I talked to a woman the other day inside in the sauna. Well, she was talking to me, and she was talking about COVID. And I said to her, what was your biggest fear? No, I know it's a kind of a fairly direct question. She could tell me my own business. She said, my biggest and my greatest fear is I die on my own in hospital and no family around me. But there is a woman struggling, because even if her family is around her, guess what? She's still dying on her own. Last one is, spiritual investing is what Solomon is saying to us. Start investing early. It's like a pension, isn't it? And continue to invest throughout your life to cope with your mortality. That's the thing that you have that can defeat mortality. That it is not the end because of what the Lord has done. So you're not going to an unknown God at this stage. You're going to a God that you have some relationship or some kind of a connection with. That is the key, Solomon says, to avoid meaningless, nothing. And it makes no sense. Everything is utterly meaningless. That's the key to it. Establish a relationship with God and keep investing in it. Main lesson is, avoid spiritual neglect at all costs. That's a concern to me. I've seen many young people down through the years coming through these doors and other doors. A good deal of, you know, teaching gone into them. But that you go that far, but then there's an onus on them to continue on that and continue to feed. And my concern is that a lot of that can be neglected. And we could end up, not saying we will, we could end up where Solomon ended up and saying everything is meaningless. And what he's saying is, don't do that. Remember your Creator. Avoid spiritual neglect at all costs. And our crowd here on the web have lost us. They're spinning. Anyway, a word of prayer. Lord, I know it's an invitation as much as it is a command. But Lord, we are learning from a wise man in Solomon. Lord, we have to say we're moving on in years. Lord, we're still, Lord, hoping to be able to, Lord, do a few more mountains yet and see a few more things. But Lord, we know it's only a matter of time. Lord, when that silver cord, Lord, will be broken. And Lord, we will have to leave our bodies. It will go back to the earth. And Lord, your spirit that you put into us returns to you. Our prayer, Lord, is that the relationship that we have, that we, Lord, that we will foster that. So when we're getting nearer the time, we are not in despair, not in hopelessness, but Lord, in expectation of a new body, a new world, a new hope, and life that will never end in perfection. And to God, great things he has done. And to him and to him alone, we give the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.